Chiang escaped from the brutal Chinese dictatorship in Taiwan in the 1960s. After he trained as a doctor in the United States, he was among the first wave of Taiwanese immigrants to come to Metro Vancouver. Well, now a new book explores Dr. Yang's personal journey, interweaving it with Taiwan's complex history. It's called Shadows of the Crimson Sun, One Man's Life in Manchuria, Taiwan and North America. It launches today at Taiwan Fest in Vancouver. Julia Lin is the author of the book. She's been good enough to join us in studio this morning. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Thank you for being here. Charles Yang had a rather unusual childhood before he came to North America. He escaped an invasion, then later a dictatorship. Tell us a little bit more about that, about his journey.
Well, Dr. Yang was born in Taiwan to Taiwanese parents, mm-hmm. and as a young child, he moved to the Japanese-controlled Manchuria, puppet state of Manchuria called Manchukuo, and he grew up feeling that he was supposed to be Japanese. He felt inferior as a Taiwanese because the Japanese treated everybody who was not Japanese, pure Japanese, as second-class citizens. So after Russia invaded Manchuria in 1945, his family escaped to Taiwan, but then he still didn't have this sense of belonging because he did not speak Taiwanese. He grew up speaking Japanese, and the native Taiwanese had their own dialect, of course, so he felt a little bit estranged from that culture, mm-hmm. and the nationalists who were in government at the time treated the native Taiwanese as, again, the conquered. So, and then when he moved to North America in 1959, he again felt a sense of estrangement because most immigrants feel culture shock. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until he settled in Vancouver with his wife and three children that he really found a sense of belonging as a Taiwanese Canadian. So I think he is an example of the Canadian multiculturalism policy, a successful story.
You grew up in Taiwan as well under martial law. Did you relate to Dr. Yang's experience as you were interviewing him for this book?
Yes, I did. I was a child when I was in Taiwan, and I actually explored this in my fiction. I have a short story collection called Mia, and as a child, you don't really understand what's going on, but you feel this sense of guardedness. Mm-hmm. One never knows how information will be used because the Kuomintang had an extensive informant network. So people would disappear overnight, and the informants and the prosecutors themselves profited from turning people in. So you always you didn't divulge the personal information if you could avoid it. And I think Dr. Yang was very brave when he came to Canada because he participated in the activist movement, and the nationalist government actually had an overseas informant network.
Oh, really?
Yes.
And so he would have been doing that at some considerable risk then.
Yes, yes.
How welcoming was Vancouver to people from Taiwan in the 1960s, by the way?
Well, there was a very small population in 1965 when Dr. Yang landed. There were only about 100 Taiwanese in Greater mm-hmm. Vancouver at the time, and Asians actually made up 5% of the population in Richmond, because Dr. Yang started when Richmond General Hospital started in 1966. And I actually grew up in Richmond myself in the late 70s and 80s. And even then, there were very few Asians. And it wasn't until the late 80s and 90s, after the business immigrant program was introduced, that large numbers of immigrants arrived from Taiwan and Hong Kong. And so now, with the massive influx of mainland Chinese, half of the population of Richmond is ethnic Chinese.
Right.
So for longtime residents like Dr. Yang, the change has also been shocking. He has a really strong opinion about what the responsibilities of immigrants should be, and he strongly objects to immigrants who take advantage of the Canadian tax system and the social safety nets that we have here. He believes that immigrants should contribute to the countries where they have settled and try to integrate into mainstream society, and only then will they be respected by the rest of the society.
And in the meantime, his activism continues. He still supports Taiwanese independence from China. What are his hopes for the future of the country?
Well, he's a staunch Taiwanese independence advocate. He thinks China should relinquish its claim on Taiwan. But, you know, China's stance continues to be that Taiwan is a part of China. Taiwan is 中国不可分的一部分. So I don't know if he's going to be able to see his hopes fulfilled. Mm-hmm. Personally, I really don't know if anything can happen without China's cooperation. And I really don't know what the solution is. I just hope that there'll be a peaceful solution to this problem, because Taiwanese have suffered quite a bit over the last century.
Julia Lin, it's great to meet you and hear a little bit about his story. Thank you so much. It's a fascinating book. We really appreciate you being here.
My pleasure.
Julia Lin, author of Shadows of the Crimson Sun, One Man's Life in Manchuria, Taiwan, and North America. She is going to be talking about the book this afternoon at 1 o'clock at a launch party at the Orpheum Annex in Vancouver, all part of Taiwan Fest in Vancouver. And we've got a copy of the book to give away, by the way. Just email us, earlyed@cbc.ca, earlyed@cbc.ca, with the name of the book. And it will be yours. If you're the fourth person to email us as well to go along with it, a copy of the book Julie mentioned as well, her book of short stories. So there you go. Minute to go before the news.